Every Christian person will want always to be in the will of God. And that creates the problem for the average person. How would you know when you're in the will of God? And how would you be led of Him? Now, we're going to be noticing this in an incident that occurred in the book of Acts that is recorded in the 16th chapter. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning to read at the 6th verse. And in the next few verses, we have the description of a very important stage in the history of the whole movement of the early church. Of course, our attention will be focused upon Paul and his company. And yet, in what happened here, one might say that the whole course of the history of the church, if not of the whole world, was affected by what happened right at this point. Now, let me read it to you. I'm sure that as I read it, you will not feel that it sounds so important, and yet it is, as I shall try to point out to you. In the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter, beginning to read at the 6th verse, and this is what we read. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I have read verses 6 to 10 in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, all those strange names will mean very little to many of us. But let me tell you that what you have just heard me read is the description of what happened when Paul and his company did not feel free to preach any longer in Asia Minor, and while they were wondering which way to go, were actually led to cross into Macedonia. That may not seem much to you, but you know what that meant? That meant going into Europe. Up until then, the whole gospel had always been in Asia. And this is the point at which the gospel was carried into Europe, across the Straits of Bosphorus, probably the Sea of Hellespont, down there by Greece, carried across there into the country called Macedonia, which was in Greece, which was in Europe. And at this point, this very important event occurred. And yet, when we're looking at it, you and I can see in it a very simple and common spiritual problem. How would I know what God wants me to do? Does God want me to go this way or that way? Does He want me to take this job or that job? Does He want me to talk to this man or to that man? Would the Lord God want me to spend my money here or to give my money there? Such questions as that. This is the very important problem of being guided by the Lord. May I say to you right now, we'll find when we're looking here that God doesn't guide us with any visible signpost that when you're walking down the street, you'll suddenly see a hand rise up out of the sidewalk that will say, go up this street or go up that street. That's not the way it is. And no matter how it is described, you and I must try to understand that these are spiritual experiences. Now let us look more closely. Just verse by verse. In verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And of course that means Asia Minor, which is preaching any longer in that part of the country where they were. Now how would they be forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia? How would this happen? Would you expect that they would hear a voice that would tell them? Would they see some signs about it? How would they know? And I'm going to suggest to you that doubtless these were men who moved always in an attitude of prayer, in an atmosphere of prayer. I expect that the only way to understand how these men did is that they took time to pray to God about what they were going to do and to wait on God for what we call guidance. They meditated on the problem before God. They were inwardly led. Their own thoughts were shaped up in such a way that they felt this I should do or this I shouldn't do. What I expect happened was that when they prayed about going on in Asia Minor, they had no liberty to go on in Asia Minor, which means they felt inwardly they shouldn't do it. They had no liberty to go on, so they turned. And when they were come to Mysia, which is another area, they essayed to go into Bithynia. That is, that's what they planned to do. It seemed to them that there was a part of the country that could be benefited by hearing the gospel preached, so they made their plans to go, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, there again, I'm going to suggest to you that the only way that they would become conscious of the Spirit suffering them and what to do was their praying about it. They likely reviewed their whole plans before God in prayer. And when they reviewed their whole plans before God in prayer, they had no liberty in spirit to go on and preach up there where they were going, where they had planned to go. Now, both of these verses, verse 6 and verse 7, which indicates that the Holy Spirit exercised a prerogative of control. The Holy Spirit said yes or no, which means that men made their plans, they figured things out, they tried to decide which way to go, but before they acted, they were the kind of men who waited on God in prayer to feel inwardly guided in this matter. And you can just think now they made two starts and were stopped both times. By now these people will be having a feeling of frustration. These people will be having a feeling of confusion. At how will you go? They thought this was the thing to do. No, it isn't. They thought that was the thing to do. No, it isn't. Well, now what is the thing to do? They had tried to go in every direction that seemed possible. And so when we come to verse 9, we read, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, there were more people than Paul in the company, but this vision appeared to Paul in the night. This vision would come to him very much in the nature of a dream. But I'm going to suggest to you that this wouldn't happen to anybody. I don't think this vision could have come just to one of the laborers that might be around there. I don't think this vision would have come to a man in the street that had no thoughts about the matter at all. This vision came to a man who was studying this problem, who was carrying it on his mind and heart, who was debating it, and who had tried to do this and tried to do that, and is in a state of tension about the whole thing. In other words, this would not happen to anybody, nor would it happen to even to Paul under any circumstances. And what I am suggesting to you is that before we get guidance that will actually clear up a matter, it may well be that the Lord will lead us through a period of time when we will have a sense of almost frustrating uncertainty in the matter, and when our praying won't seem to ever bring us to any real clear conclusion. Because here you have a perplexed, frustrated group searching the mind of the Lord for guidance. You see, being in the will of God, and Paul and his company were in the will of God, does not mean that you will always know everything that you should do. Someone will say, well, if you were in the will of God, you'd just know what to do. Well, a person like that doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not the way it occurs in the Bible. And by the way, for you just take this to heart. If in your home, in your family, if at any time you feel uncertain about what to do, that's no indication you've been doing the wrong thing. That doesn't mean by any manner of means that you're on the wrong road. It may well be that the Lord wants you now to look in a direction you've never looked before. Maybe that's the reason why all the doors seem to be closed. That's the reason why you're looking and turning around, looking this way, that way, the other way, to try and find out what. And in that, you may have a very definite sense of confusion and frustration. So you look up into His presence. But here is a perplexed, frustrated group of people searching the mind of the Lord for guidance of some sort, and apparently not able to get anything. This is the man who had the vision. Here again, let me say this to you. Being obedient does not mean that anything a man does is in the will of the Lord. If I start out in the morning and say, well, I'm obedient to the Lord because I have no other desire in my mind than to do His will, so I go ahead for the day, that doesn't mean everything comes to my mind is the right thing. It doesn't mean everything that I turn my hand to is the right thing. Doesn't mean every direction I go is the right road. This simply will mean that I will be subject to Him, obedient to Him, And it will include, among other things, that I will wait until I get guidance from him, because that's one thing I want you to notice. When these people were not allowed to go into Asia, they didn't go. And when they were not permitted to go into Bithynia, they didn't go. They just waited there in this state of frustration, just waiting in Troas until, see what would happen. Then this vision came, like a dream. And in this vision, Paul saw this man in Macedonia. Apparently, they hadn't thought about Macedonia. That was across the ocean, you might say, across the strait. And it was over in another country altogether. As we know, it was in another continent. It was altogether a different place. And when he saw this vision, evidently he came and told the brethren, because this is what we read. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Look at that, though, that phrase, assuredly gathering. What does that mean? Well, you know, you gather anything when you say you get the idea. You add up all the evidence and you pretty well understand it. And so you see, you gathered you should do this or you should do that is the English term for meaning you came to that conclusion. Assuredly gathering means that they came to the definite conclusion that the Lord called them to preach the gospel over into Macedonia. Notice, Paul had the vision, but they all had the conviction, which would mean that Paul would come to the apostolic company and tell them. He says, during the night I dreamed a dream, and I saw this man in Macedonia, and he said, come over and help us. They'd talk it over. They'd think about it. They would wonder about it. They'd pray about it. And they accepted it. As they prayed, it seemed right. It's as though when they held this before the Lord, something inside of them clicked and said, that's it. And so they all agreed, this seems to be it. Here we have freedom to go. They accepted this communication as from the Lord. They weighed the evidence. Everything seemed to point that way. And they assuredly gathered that the Lord called them to preach over there. Now, in such a situation as that, they learned the will of God, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us to seek thy will, to be obedient before thee, to be yielded and submissive to thee, to wait on thee for guidance, and to accept thy guidance when it comes, and to take any means of communication which thou dost share with us, take it as from thee, so that we might walk with confidence in thy will. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.